This FPL season has definitely been go, go, go. A nonstop hustle all the time. Matches, deadlines, unexpected blank and double game weeks, on top of everything the real world has had in store. Sometimes you need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. For me personally, supporting Fulham during this last year has been a true roller coaster ride. Honestly, when that Adama Traore goal flew past Areola in the 92nd minute of game week 31, the only thing that saved my mental state, the only thing that calmed my nerves, was cracking open a Coors Light. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. That way, you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. And listen, everyone, summer is pretty much here. It's about to get hot in New York. An ice-cold Coors Light is such a perfect way for me to beat that summertime heat. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light and the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate. Hail cheaters and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League Podcast. It's Sunday afternoon. We're fresh off game week 12 and I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
I'm fantastic, Josh. Thanks for asking. I had an idea that you would ask me how I'm doing. I'm doing well.
That's good.
We had a great meetup this weekend just to kick us off with Leo Howell, a friend of the pod, Patreon supporter. We met him at the Black Horse, and also shout out to Jazz, who was our bartender at the Black Horse. And if you're listening, Jazz, welcome to the team.
Yeah, I don't know that. I think I've heard before that in Europe they don't do it, in America it's very common to get like a round picked up at the end. I know sometimes in the UK you get shots. We got a round and shots, so I felt like it was really. Now bear in mind it was 10 a.m., but it was still great to get free alcohol anytime, really. You know, no matter what the context is.
And then I have the whole afternoon ahead of me to nap. Just nap.
Yeah, exactly. I had to go hang out with a 2-year-old, but it was good. We went to the park.
We had a great meetup, great hangout at the Black Horse, always shooting HQ. But our scores perhaps tell a different story. How'd you do in game week 12? How are you feeling about your score?
Yeah, I mean, I actually think both of us, our scores are kind of okay. I mean, I'm on 63 points. Green arrow. It looks like I'm going to be around 23,000 in the world. So certainly not, it's not bad. It's not as good as it should have been though. Okay. My new thinking, Brandon, is that I am not a manager who should have 2 free transfers. I don't think I do good things with them. I think that it's just like, it's a personality thing. Like there are some managers out there who are incredibly patient, incredibly happy to just continue to carry transfers over week after week. Use one, save it, have two for the next. But I'm not conservative by nature. I want to take like huge home run swings with every transfer that I make. If I only have one, however, I'm typically pretty sensible and I just shore up, you know, whatever the weakness is that game week. So I decided to bring in, I mean, this is going to sound ridiculous in hindsight, but I decided to bring in Alvaro Morata and David Brooks. Now, the Brooks move, I think, is pretty justified. And this was to replace Madison and Mitrovic. So both players really had to go, you know, with 2 frees. And, you know, who I was going to move Madison to was not an easy decision. It was something I really debated, you know, pretty seriously. And, you know, the Richarlison news sort of just made me not necessarily want to bring him in, you know?
Yeah, the news that he was, he had a knocker. Was it a knee
ankle
injury
issue,
or something?
I think. Yeah, I think it was an ankle issue. And then, you know, Martial, you know, is it Martial? I know we talk about this like every podcast. What is the right way to say Anthony Martial's name?
Martial.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. So Martial playing away to Man City. I did not expect another Ederson penalty, another Ederson to concede another penalty. It is
incredible. Just an exact replica of the penalty he conceded last week against Southampton.
The guy is bigger than everyone on the pitch. I don't know why he's like, he's reacting this way. It's like, you got to be a gentle giant, dude. Like,
You got to be jolly and gentle.
He's commanding his box too aggressively. So I just didn't love any of the moves there. So I decided to move to Brooks, who's a player that I think has a lot of long-term value, even with some difficult fixtures ahead for Bournemouth. I just, so I didn't mind bringing him in early. I didn't love any of the options for game week 12. I was really trying to put up a good game week 12 score. Right. And I think I've been a little guilty of looking too far ahead with my transfers and trying to play for the next 3 or 4 weeks, kind of ignoring the game week in front of me. And so I was like, all right, let me try to like really just put up a big score, game week 12. And so I brought in Alvaro Morata, and the idea there was it's really a 3 week punt with him. I thought Everton, I didn't think Everton would put up such strong resistance. Mm-hmm. I might not have factored in the hangover of the Europa League. Yeah. Although he didn't play in that, but many of the players did. I just thought Everton at home, game week 12, Fulham at home, game week 14. It just seemed like a good run. He'd scored, I think it was four goals in four going into the match. And maybe it was actually five and five, because I think he actually scored in the Europa League match that you and I watched too.
Yep.
So I was thinking five goals for a team that's undefeated on the season, two home matches in the next three. He's 8.7 million. It just felt like an interesting risk, you know?
You weren't put off by his emotional fragility?
I do think people, like, it's borderline bullying what happens to him now, right? And I know that we're part of it too, so I can't, I'm not going to be a total hypocrite here. But having him on my team, like, sort of gave me some perspective where I was like, leave this guy alone. He didn't have a great match. I actually don't know that I really think he was the problem in that match, but.
Interesting to note, for BPS, Morata finished on -10. Just an absolutely outrageous bad FPL game for Morata. He was offsides more times than I could even count. Like Bafétimbi Gomis levels of offsides.
It really genuinely couldn't have gone worse. I got 3 points from those two. Callum Wilson was the player that I was really seriously looking at, who only netted 2 points. So it's frustrating. I really wish that I had just brought in Richarlison, right? And just had Wilson or Richarlison. But it is what it is. I actually think that the way my team looks next game week, I can roll with a 4-3-3, which I don't think I've done very often this year. Save that transfer and then just downgrade Morata, maybe after game week 14 to Jimenez or something like that. Yep. So anyway, I was really frustrated earlier today, but as the hours have gone by, like as many of us know, it's like you give it a couple hours and you always have a little more perspective. And now it's like, at least I have a green arrow, So that's the one that's what you've got to keep in mind, I guess.
Absolutely. So I also finished on a green arrow, 64 points. So just a Jimenez bonus point better than you. And Jimenez was my move for the week. I dropped Mitrovic for Jimenez. And away to Arsenal wasn't exactly like the greatest fixture to pick from looking at transfers for game week 12. But I think a lot of us would say Arsenal's defense has not been great this game week. So it just didn't really put me off. Happy to bring in Jimenez.
Did you see the goal?
It was a typical Jimenez assist. He was outright and played it into the box, and a finish by Carvalier or whatever his name is.
Yeah, Ivan Caviero. So can we talk? I mean, you beat him by 1 point, so I can bring up a painful moment. But I mean that Matt D at the end there, that is a heartbreaker.
In that he got his head caved in?
Well, no, I was thinking more about the lost clean sheet and three bonus points.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That is a heartbreaker. I did break my rule of loading clean sheet points before the game was over. And I have that rule because typically I think if you load clean sheet points after the 60th minute, you run the risk of then losing them and seeing those points wash away. Never a good feeling. And I think it's bad luck. But yeah. I felt like I knew today while sort of doing the second screen with Wolves Arsenal that I was going to lose that clean sheet anyway. It was just an onslaught, Arsenal on the Wolves goal. The dam was going to break at some point.
I always feel like a goal was coming. Although Traore, it was funny because watching him in the second half, I was thinking, Man, it's amazing this guy doesn't start. Like, he's so fast. And then you're like, oh, right, he can't really pass or shoot.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, if he could do either of those two things, he's probably a starter. But unfortunately, yeah, he can't really do either. He's a pretty good dribbler, though.
Yeah.
But he's a fun player to watch. Yeah, that was, I know a lot of people ended up getting Wolves clean sheets, or they started Patricio. It was just the way that goal was scored was so funny, with Mkhitaryan thrown across. That happens like a couple times a year, right? Where you see someone, yeah, just like toss a hopeful cross in there and somehow it just eludes everyone.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, passed through nine different, I don't know how it didn't touch anybody.
Yeah.
It was like, I think, was it,
Aubameyang was very close. Aubameyang, to it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Tried to flick his head on and he completely missed it, which may have, yeah, been enough to distract the keeper actually. But
yeah. So then it becomes anyways, a non-FPL goal with a Ramsey assisting Mkhitaryan. So it just hurt everyone with Wolves players. It didn't help anyone with Arsenal.
Yeah. Beautiful goal for me. Cause no Aubameyang or Lacazette points. And then the Wolves clean sheets wiped out. So that was like that was the best moment of today for me, probably.
Yeah. Right.
I guess actually, no, Trent to, Salah was amazing. What a crazy goal that was. The first goal of the Liverpool match.
Yeah. Yeah. Trent looked really good. I think he made a few mistakes, just young, naive mistakes. And
yeah,
but
he's got some body language issues.
He does. But attacking wise, I think he looked really great. I mean, definitely on par with Robertson in this match, who also looked fantastic. So
yeah, they both look good.
Yeah, I chose not to solve the Madison issue, so I'm continuing to lose value on Madison. It looks like he'll definitely drop once, probably twice over the international break. So I just didn't know who to move him to this week for a -4. So
yeah.
The guys I was targeting would be Richarlison or Martial, and
right,
kind of as you were alluding to, I didn't like either of those fixtures in game week 12 for them. I didn't think it'd be worth a -4. And as it turns out, Martial
would have been
like a marginal increase in my overall game week score.
Two points, I think,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, not a lot.
As it is Green Arrow, the fix has me up to 6,150 overall. So, yeah, heady heights.
It's eye-watering heights there, Brandon. Well done. So it is currently too early to share the Super League. My hope is that by the time we get to the end of this podcast, it will be updated and we can post it. So, what's cool is that the Always Cheating Super League has actually moved into the 5 best leagues in the world. Thanks to our friend FPL General who shared that with us. It was pretty exciting. So I don't know how long that's going to last for, but going into this game week.
Going into this game week, yes, we're already off the FPL homepage. So we'll see what happens when all the scores. I mean,
have that screenshot, Brandon. We'll always have that screenshot.
Yeah, we were ranked just below the League of Doing Bits. So, Patrick Van Aanholt, if you're listening, we're gunning for you.
By the way, right above the toughest leagues are the teams with the most team value, which is kind of like, it's just a fun thing to look at because you realize how little team value has to do with like where someone's ranked in the world.
Yeah.
Fayum FC, his team value is 107.1 million. He is ranked 5 million out of 5.8 million players.
I think some people set up dummy teams just to play that game to try and get on the homepage for team value. So I wonder if this guy has another team that he actually
just
plays
think
for
by,
real.
Like, but just having that much value means you've got super talented players, right?
Presumably.
I don't know if he's just captaining a goalkeeper every week or something. So we'll learn more about Fayum FC. Kareem AAA, we're coming for you.
Yeah, yep. Okay, so more to come on the Super League. Never too late to join. There's an auto-join button on our website, alwayscheating.com. 5 million, I wish. 5,000 managers strong going there in the Super League. Couple of thank yous to our new Patreon supporters. At the Mbakani patron level, we welcome Bobby Styles and Ollie Lewinsky, and also pledging at the Surlot, the Lord Surlot patron level. It's Andrew Ferber. So thanks to you guys for your support. And if you
and
want,
no thanks to Lord Surlot for missing a beautiful chance at the end of that Spurs game.
Yeah, and that would have been huge for the always cheating brand writ large if Sorloth were able to put that goal.
I think my mom would have texted me if he scored. Like, I think that's how connected we are to Sorloth at this point.
Absolutely.
So frustrating. So, and IU, why does IU continue to play? It's so frustrating. Yeah.
Another added bonus for our patron supporters at patreon.com, we have our Starting 11 Retro Kit contest. That started fresh for the month of November. So if you're a Patreon supporter, you just join our big Patreon supporters FPL Mini League. And the person who has the most points for that particular month wins a free retro kit from 3retro.com from our great friends at Starting 11 and their awesome daily fantasy app. So we're halfway through the month of November. Never too late. You can still join that November contest if you become a Patreon member now. We'll get you right loaded into the November contest. And thanks to Starting 11 for sponsoring that for us.
Brandon, we have a couple of rants this week. First one comes from Dave from Burnley. Says, rant, Mendy, 6.4 million, seriously bad value.
You started a bit of a Twitter war.
Kerfuffle. I didn't mean to. I, like a lot of fantasy managers or just people who watch the Premier League in general, I feel like I've seen like virtually every minute of Man City this season, right? Like there's there's always like a reason to watch them and, you know, for fantasy otherwise. And I feel like since he's come back from the injury, he just hasn't been as attacking, which is pretty much all I said. And some people like got very heated about it. I don't know. Like, don't you I haven't like checked heat maps and stuff, but my feeling is that he hugs the touchline a lot more than he used to, and that he's not kind of bombing forward in this sort of, you think back to those first few game weeks of the season, you know, I felt like he was super aggressive. Right. I mean, I don't think he's, you know, he had one assist at the end of whatever that match was like 4 or 5 weeks ago. You know, when the game was already 4-0 or 5-0.
Yep.
You know, but in general, I just don't, it feels like, you know, for a while it was, you know, when Sané plays in front of him, he's sort of there. And then Sterling is kind of taking that spot too. And Sterling is the kind of player who, like, once he gets the ball, it's like head down. He's kind of like Aguero, actually. Like, both those guys, like, they get the ball, they are going for a goal. You know, like, they're not kicking it back out wide. You know, they're going for it right then. So I don't know. I mean, what do you think about Mendy?
Mendy is a tricky one because I think he's asked to do a lot in that position. I mean, I view him as in FPL and in real life very much like Marcus Alonso. He can sometimes look a bit clumsy, particularly when he's trying to defend. But his better skill is to assist the team in the attack. I think it definitely in the second half of the Manchester derby, Mendy looked much more attacking. He was actually getting into the 18-yard box, and I don't know if he got a shot off, but he was in position to actually get shots on goal in the box.
Do you agree with me, though, that he hasn't been as attacking? I mean, I know I'm just saying, like, do you agree with my feeling about this? Like, we haven't, like, I haven't looked at, like, touches in the opponent's half and like that, but I don't know, it just doesn't feel like he's attacking
as much. I don't agree with you. I don't think I do agree with you. I think that we're seeing Manchester City and Pep try a few different versions of their tactics. Obviously, Pep, as you noted, he's moving various players around like Sterling and Sané and Mahrez that will impact how Mendy fits into the attack. So I think we're seeing different versions of the same Mendy week to week, but I don't think his role has been diminished. I think there it is an interesting discussion to have of, is it good value 6.4 for a player like Mendy? I still do think he is a great attacking fullback, and I don't think that's changed since game week one.
And I have picked up two. I've had him for the last four game weeks since he came back from the injury, and picked up two clean sheets, an assist, and a bonus point. So hardly a disaster. But the real issue is just the Ederson thing. I mean, it's not like I expect that to keep happening, but, you know, for two game weeks in a row for the ball to go to the exact same spot and for him to come charging out there like a baby fawn, you know, I don't know, like the first 5 minutes of Bambi, you know, like just slipping around and tackling people. And
well, what's frustrating about it is what I mentioned last week is you want your keeper in that situation to just, you know, you committed, you have to go for the ball and you have to take that ball. In both instances, on Lukaku and on Danny Ings, was it Danny Ings that he took out last week? He is of two minds, and he's pulling his hands back. So he's not even taking the ball, and that's why the penalty is getting called, because he's not even making a play on the ball, and he takes out the man. So, he either needs to be, as you mentioned, be more jolly or less, or far less jolly in that penalty box.
FPL Prashant says, probably not a rant, but a happy feeling after a terrible game week 11. But I'm feeling relieved for two things. Giddy Marshall returns for 3 weeks is ecstasy. Also is happy that Arsenal – this isn't a rant, Brandon. I'm also happy that Arsenal scored so that I get Jimenez BPS and feel not awful for leaving Boley on the bench.
This is curveball thinking from Prashant. We asked for rants, and Prashant says, I'll do you one better. I'll tell you why I'm feeling good about my team. So I did appreciate him writing in. That's how he snuck into the rants of the week. How about this for something completely different? It's just a straight up humble brag from our friend, that Joe guy. He asks a question. Maybe you can answer this, Josh. How do you deal with all the jealousy when you're top of your mini league? Apparently listening to you guys is the only reason I'm on top.
Wow. That's just enough of a compliment to allow the humble brag to slip onto the podcast. How do you deal with the jealousy? When I'm number one, which I haven't been in our mini league in ages now, I'm too nervous. Like I'm just looking forward, man. I'm like, I'm like Tiger Woods on Sunday, you know? Whenever I go number one in my league, I always wear red, and I just wear red as many weeks as it takes before I get knocked up that one number one spot.
I know you kind of hate it when I bring up the mind games that you play. I think I overvalue them, but when you're in first, I think you tend to revert to this psychological, like, it's everything is probably going to go wrong. And then you start playing mental warfare with those immediately below you, sort of big upping them, like, oh, you know, I'm sure you're better set up than I am. You're gonna come for me. I'm surely gonna lose. So, Joe, I think that's not a bad way to handle it.
That's just true.
Be modest and
be nice in a really condescending way. And people,
be condescending. Like, give lots of false hope to those immediately below you.
That's your privilege as a person in number one, number one overall. All right, Brandon, we're going to take a quick break. And then what are we talking about on today's podcast?
Yeah, we've spent the last few weeks dwelling on differentials, mid-table sides that are providing lots of great differentials or mid-priced value assets. So this is a good time for us, heading into the international break, to take stock on the big six teams.
I like it. It's a nice counterpoint to last week's differential special. You know, you got to talk about the big guys too.
Yeah. Now's the time where we get to talk about players you've actually heard of before.
Right. Exactly. All right, Brandon, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. All right, Brandon, we're back. We're talking about the big six. Vinyl Richie says, and that includes Bournemouth, right? They're part of the big six now. Vinyl Richie says, a transfer strategy question. If we have a core of mid-priced to cheap players that are turning decently, should we look to move our premium assets around and target fixtures? Or the other way around, should we get our core of premiums and move around the mid-priced options? This is considering how big the gap is between top and bottom teams this season, right? So basically, when you're making transfers, are you shoring up your cheap players, or are you shifting your expensive players from shifting them as the fixtures sort of turn?
Yeah, it's been interesting so far this season. People talking about doing hokey cokey with Hazard and Sterling, and then you've got players like Ryan Fraser who are just set and forget players,
right.
Which usually it's the other way around. You're chasing the £6 million midfield bandwagon week to week. So it's been different, but I think we're getting that part in the season where the big premium assets are, I don't know, they're not even starting to coalesce. We still, as we'll get
it
to, a lot of questions about Mo Salah.
Unsettled. Yep.
Hazard has a few flags around him, some concerns of value there.
Yeah, it is really tricky. And I was glad that Hazard outscored Sterling by 1 point this game week. So let's see. He outscored him by 17 last game week. So now that gap has gone from 17 to 16. So I hope, Brandon, to keep chipping away the differences. They're almost, I think they're like almost exactly the same price. So it's like, it's really it's interesting race there. But Brandon, just to guide our talk here, let's go team by team. So first thing we want to talk about is Manchester City. the Citizens brand, and their mascots are Moonchester and Moonbeam. Perhaps you've heard of them.
I have. I actually saw a great picture on Twitter this past week of Moonchester and Moonbeam posing with Gritty, the new is he the Philadelphia Flyer hockey mascot?
Oh, interesting.
He's like a mild celebrity here in America as one of these just newly introduced freaky looking mascots. Look up Gritty, but he's in cahoots now with Moonchester and Moonbeam.
All right. So the question here is, why are we not all tripled up on this team? Which is kind of true for many of us, right? I think it's in recent weeks, the move has maybe been to double up on the defense. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, most people who are listening to the podcast probably have Aguero. I'd say that's probably true of 75-80% of the people listening. And then many have one defender, whether that's Laporte or Mendy. A lot of people have Ederson as well, right? Mm-hmm. Or maybe they have Ederson instead of one of those defenders.
Yep.
But like we've all kind of it's like this wariness. Even with my two transfers this week, I was really debating what to do with that midfield. And, you know, I will admit that I thought about Bernardo Silva for like a second, but I was just like, I don't know. Like Silva's been like really kind of inconsistent this season. You know, is a home fixture to Man United.
Yeah.
Really like the best move to make. I mean, you know, it used to be that. Well, I don't know. It's interesting because the thing about Man City right now is when they're at home, they are just absolutely destroying people. Yep. When they're away, their away form is still pretty good, but it's not quite as explosively exceptional, right? They've been held scoreless away to Liverpool. They only scored one goal away to Wolves. I feel like they've got a couple of other like not. Even their, you know, the way fixture to Spurs was like a 1-0 too, right? What, you know, which is not bad, obviously, but you know, when you compare it to what they're doing at home, right? Where they, you know, I mean, a 3-1 victory was probably one of their least convincing. It was very convincing, and yet it was still one of the least like destructive victories. I mean, I know that third goal was kind of like a absolutely brilliant team goal, and they still look great, but maybe, you know, but like a 3-1 is like a ho-hum victory for them. Yeah. And so, yeah, I mean, do you feel like, I guess you're doubled up right now, right? And are you considering a third player?
Yeah, I'm doubled with Sterling and Aguero up front, and I have no defensive coverage. So I've lucked out the last couple of weeks with just these wild clean sheet wipeouts, because of Ederson. But yeah, I do think it's correct to look at Man City strictly as an attacking team. Red Dagger on our Slack says, how do I get more than three City players in my team? FPL TT, we are constantly frustrated by City rotation. If they continue to deliver week in, week out, should we just suck it up and have three assets? I don't know, because there are so many other premium assets that are more or less in form, like Hazard, and we'll talk about Liverpool coming up. And because City tend to spread the points around, I don't know. I'm going to pat myself on the back. I feel like I'm happy. I feel like I have it right. Sterling, you know, he will be a rotation risk, you know, once every three or four game weeks. And I accept that. But he would be the one midfielder that you want. He is the most explosive City midfielder. Aguero is nailed on and he is ticking along. Even though he's expensive, I think there's no reason for you to not have Sergio Aguero in your team. So I think that's just the way to start the conversation is I do think that right now Raheem Sterling and Sergio Aguero are essential if you're targeting a great overall finish this season. Then what do you do around that? Then we get into that premium defender as midfielder conversation. Right. Like Alonso, is he worth 7 million? Well, if Alonso was a 7 million midfielder all day, all week, he would be worth it. So I think it is okay to look at Man City defenders, assuming they start bringing in clean sheets pretty soon. And I think their fixtures coming up. It's West Ham away, then Bournemouth, Watford away, Chelsea and Everton. I think there are a handful of clean sheets in there. So I think you can make the case of just go for a defender and try and lock up a couple of clean sheets. And that's just as good as playing the crapshoot of, is it going to be David Silva or Bernardo Silva this week?
Yeah. It really just depends on what you do with Hazard. If you decide that Hazard is, is dispensable, then it's pretty easy. It's hard to talk about Man City without talking about Liverpool, so I guess we should just pull them right into the conversation.
Sure.
Because I think that, you know, as I was sort of thinking about my team going into Saturday, I sort of had this moment where I was like, maybe I am going to drop Salah. Not going into this game week, but just maybe long term, I want to get rid of him. And then I watched this match, and I was even more convinced that he can't go. You know, I just felt like,
why? Because all the attack ends at his feet.
Yeah, I think that's why. Yeah.
For better or worse.
For better or worse. But it usually it seems like it often leads to attacking returns. I mean, yeah. It is weird the way the narrative. I mean, at this point, there's just, I wish people would just not have him in their team. It's like there's like the anger that comes with him not getting bonus points and him not doing, you know, as much as people think that he should. I mean, you know, six goals and four assists. I mean, he's scoring a goal every other game, mm-hmm. getting an assist every three games. I mean, I know that he's expensive, but if you put the money aside for a minute, those are fantastic returns. And maybe you just can't put the money aside, but if you can't handle his price, just drop him. Like, quit going on and yelling at people about it. Like, just move on with your life. Just get rid of him. And I will happily continue to get 8 points, you know, virtually every match from him.
Yeah.
You know, at least averaged, you know, over the course of, you know, three or four fixtures. So, I mean, the guy's coming off a 15-point haul 2 weeks ago, and it's just amazing how almost everyone is like, I want him to go. I want to get rid of him.
Yeah.
It's not enough.
The interesting thing about that 15-point haul against Cardiff, one goal, two assists, it's the only match of this 12-week run in which he's gotten any bonus points. I mean, I know you could have the bonus point conversation all day long, but the other thing to note about
let's not.
It's his only double-digit return all season.
Right.
Apart from that 15-point haul, he's failed to break into double digits.
But when you put it that way, I mean, I'm sure there is a but coming here, but uh-huh. I'm gonna add it for you, because saying that he only has one means that you're ignoring an 8-point return, 9-point return, 8-point return, 8-point return, 8-point return, and 8-point return. Those are incredible returns, right? I mean, 75 points over 12 game weeks. I mean, what does that divide to? That's like he's averaging over 6 points per fixture. That is an incredible average. That's absolutely worth 13 million, in my opinion.
Yeah. I still look at my team and I say, I've got some pretty great premium assets around him, looking at Sterling, Aguero, Marcus Alonso, Andy Robertson.
Right.
The only decision that I feel I'm exposed on I guess this is probably the one question that we should seek to answer in this entire part of the podcast, is you've got three midfielders to choose from: Sterling, Hazard, and Salah. But let's leave the Mane piece of that out of this for the purposes of this discussion. The only reason I would look to drop Salah is my fear of not having Eden Hazard. So then I have to weigh, Hazard versus Salah. Hazard has lots of upside in that anytime he gets attacking returns, he tends to be nailed on for bonus. He is on penalties. He can be explosive, but we do know that he's very streaky. And we're looking at Salah, and he's kind of the opposite of that. He's not being very explosive this season. He's not getting any bonus. It's rare that he's on penalties, but he is ticking along so consistently. There have been moments throughout this game week where I'm feeling like, definitely going to drop Salah and bring in Hazard. Having this conversation, though, and I'm in my heart of hearts, and you were right, the butt was coming when I started talking about Salah. I don't have it in me right now to drop Salah either. And I think that it's unfair criticism FPL-wise on the man now.
Between Mo Salah and Eden Hazard, only one of them is playing out of position as a striker, right? I mean, Salah has moved into that Roberto Firmino role, and Roberto Firmino is now a forward playing out of position as a midfielder, you know? So, and maybe they're just going to alternate. Maybe this is like how Klopp's going to do it. Like, next year it'll be Sadio Mane, who's like, they all get a chance to do it one year. I don't know. But I mean, right now we have the ideal situation, which is that Salah he's not getting rested at, like, virtually ever. And I mean, we're 12 weeks in and he started every single match. I was not expecting that to happen this season. Right. I mean, almost everyone else has missed a match so far this year.
Yep.
So, you know, I don't know. I just feel like it's, you can only have 11 players every game week. There's no way to hoover up every single possible point that's out there. And so, you know, it's this like Hazard versus Sterling discussion, which is the one that I'm most interested in.
Yeah.
For my personal team, it's a hard one to answer because I think that I would be comfortable going from Hazard to Sterling, but I think I have to wait until that Fulham fixture in game week 14. I just don't know how I can drop him with a Fulham fixture just two game weeks away. You know, I mean, that could be an amazing fixture for him. That could be like a 20-point haul kind of game week, you know?
It could be. Everyone said the same about Liverpool when they hosted Fulham, and it's just one match.
It turned out it was the defenders who really hauled in that game.
yeah, for sure. I'm curious to see what kind of shape Fulham are in, even if they have a new manager by the time that Chelsea fixture comes around. Do they even oust Djukanovic over the international break? This would be the perfect time to get rid of him.
You keep him for that. It's kind of like what Real Madrid did with their manager, where you keep them for the big match for the derby.
Yep.
And then, I know it's not a derby in their case, but you keep him around for the Liverpool match because they're not going to win that anyway.
Sure.
You know, and then why put a new manager up before that fixture?
Yeah.
So yeah, he's got to go, right?
Yes, no, he definitely has to go sooner rather than later. Claudio Ranieri, somebody was mentioning, hey, that guy's available to be hired. That would be just like an incredible appointment for Fulham if they could get him. Much prefer that over the same old Allardyce, David Moyes firefighting job.
They just need someone to like get some shape into that team, organize that defense a little bit. I mean, honestly, you're going to laugh, but like Sam Allardyce would probably keep them up. You know, like, I don't know if you'd be able to stomach that, but
yeah, I don't.
Someone along those lines.
Yeah, I don't think
Martin O'Neill type.
I don't think you're wrong. All right, let's just, before we move on totally from Manchester City, we had a question from Salam Uden. Trippier out, Mendy in, Hazard out, Sterling in. Is it the time? So we were talking about the Hazard versus Sterling debate. We've already kind of touched upon the anxiety around Mendy. But if you didn't have Mendy, and more largely, if you didn't have a Manchester City defender or Ederson, are you looking at bringing them in to shore up this triple Man City right now? Or does their recent defensive performances give you pause?
Well, I mean, they've been pretty solid defensively, really. If you can look past the two Ederson pens, they haven't allowed a goal on open play in ages, right? Like many game weeks, I think.
Yep.
I mean, at least in the Premier League itself. I think their fixtures aren't great coming up. They're fine from an attacking perspective, but away to West Ham, you could see that, especially coming out of the international break, most of their players will be playing somewhere internationally. Home to Bournemouth, you know, very solid attack, would conceivably score a goal in that match. Away to Watford in game week 15, and then away to Chelsea in game week 16. Not great, you know. I mean, I don't look at those and think four clean sheets and four there. Maybe two and four, you know. So is that enough to bring in a 6.4 million defender? I mean, Laporte seems like the one. I think for 0.4 million cheap, 0.5, whatever it is right now, I think I slightly prefer him over Mendy. He's got a little bit of goal threat on set pieces. If Mendy, I am of the opinion, maybe incorrectly, that Mendy isn't quite as attacking as he was before.
Yeah.
So, I think you could save the money and go with Laporte.
So did the prosecution team that was pressing charges against Mendy a couple weeks ago, did they recruit you for their case?
I actually think it's fine the way he's playing. I mean, okay, there's like fantasy and there's real life. Okay. You know, and this is like Man City. Like we were talking about them, it's all working perfectly. And it probably makes more sense for Mendy to be slightly more defensive in that team. There's no need for him to be super attacking because the I mean the front whatever the front five are just like so good and so attacking.
And Mendy is so slow. Yeah. If he is pushing up constantly and an attack, the opposing team gets him behind him, he's never going to catch them.
It's like sometimes like the only chance a team has to score is if Mendy is too attacking, you know, and create some space.
Yeah.
That's actually Kyle Walker, I guess, has been getting beat on the right.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting.
I agree with you on Laporte, and John Stone's even cheaper at 5.3, but there's that just the specter of Vincent Kompany. Like anytime they get a chance to wheel him out with his captain armband, they'll do it.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah. Be a couple of easy fixtures this fall, right? Where they'll roll him out.
Yeah. All right. What else do we need to talk about in terms of Liverpool? Their upcoming fixtures are pretty good. Still Watford. Then it's the Merseyside Derby at Anfield in game week 14. Burnley, Bournemouth before they get to United.
I think one interesting thing about Liverpool is whether Trent Alexander-Arnold has officially won his spot back, or if it was, or if, you know, Lovren was still kind of coming down from like coming back from a cold or whatever, and that's why Gomez played as a center back. I don't know. It's like
one interesting point about Lovren, seeing him pictured on the bench against Fulham, he had his legs crossed and his hands in his pockets, like he was basically just like taking the bus. And
interesting.
I find that to be an odd look for a player who could be subbed on at any moment. The look of like, I ain't going on, and it's never going to happen. So Lovren looking very relaxed, I would say. So if I'm a Trent owner, I think you should be feeling pretty optimistic right now.
I'm feeling reasonably optimistic. I actually think that the defensive double up might still be the way to go with Liverpool. And the fixtures ahead are not bad, right? Watford, Everton, Burnley, Bournemouth in the next four. I don't know. And then even after that, they've got Mignon at home, not a terrible fixture. And then it's those fullbacks, though. You know, it's just like whoever wins that other fullback. I mean, Robertson, you know, fantastic value. I don't know if he's fantastic value. He's priced, you know, appropriately, but certainly offers a lot of attacking threat, a lot of bonus point potential, even if they just keep clean sheets and he doesn't get an assist.
Yeah.
It'd be nice if he scored occasionally. He actually almost scored in this match.
He sure did. He took the shot well. It was just keeper was well positioned for it.
Yeah, but if Trent Alexander-Arnold, TAA, it's actually, it takes as long to say TAA. It's easier, you can spell it in shorter, but if you say it, it's...
Yep.
So if he wins that spot, though, then a 5 million starting defender on Liverpool who's on some set pieces and on corners is super valuable. I would be looking at doubling up on those two players.
Right, I think what you see most often with the Liverpool double up is either Trent or Robertson plus a VVD or Gomez. I haven't seen any teams that have both Trent and Robertson. And imagine if you had both of them going into that Fulham match.
Yeah.
Fantastic. It seems.
Yeah. I'm sure some people must, but I think maybe Jeff Petter actually coming out of his wild card had them for like a week. It's been a weird thing because, you know, coming out of the last international break, it looked like he might have lost a spot, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it really did. And he was having this weird story about his text messaging some young woman, and that was problematic. I don't know.
That was weird.
I don't want to libel us here. We got a question from the secret FPL player, or the secret FPLer. After game week 15, Liverpool played Bournemouth, Man United, Wolverhampton, Newcastle, Arsenal, Man City. Before the fixtures turn more favorable, taking the very long view here. Secret FPL player says, can you make a genuine case for going without any Liverpool assets over this run? Or is that too risky? So we've established that we're very much on board with keeping Salah. He's an important FPL asset. And now we're talking about doubling up on their defense. So no, we are not recommending anyone go without Liverpool assets.
After game week 15, like, who knows? That's like everyone's like half the league is going to come down with a hamstring injury in the next few weeks, so you know, we'll Well, let's see where we are in 4 weeks. I can't think that far ahead, Brandon. I've got to solve an Alvaro Morata situation as soon as possible.
Okay? We should actually end the podcast right now so you could go tend to that. I think that fire is like burning out of control right now. So how long do you think it's going to be? Just lastly on Liverpool, how long do you think it's going to be before Shaqiri nails down that spot? He looks so important to that attack.
Yeah, he was so. Yeah, we haven't really talked about him, have we? He just hasn't started a lot. I did not raise my eyebrows to see him start this game week. But you know, he's actually started three matches on the season. One of the three matches he started, he got taken off at halftime. You know, although it was kind of a weird sub because he had two assists and they were up on Southampton. It was just a strange match. And I think there was I think it wasn't an injury though, right? I think Klopp just didn't like the shape of the team or something like that. So, so that did give me pause. I mean, you know, he only played 10 minutes last week, 29 minutes the week before.
Yeah.
He's a little too expensive that's like 7 million is basically third midfielder money.
Yeah.
And do you want to pay third midfielder money for a player who, you don't know any better than I do, but like it does, I feel like I'm still not quite confident that he's going to start every game.
I agree.
At least not until the Champions League.
He's on the watch list. So he passes the eye test. It's just we need more data on his minutes. So, I mean,
exactly.
If he ends up being nailed on, then it's a big buy for me.
Yeah, I think if you brought him in a one-week punt, you probably have to keep him for another week.
Mm-hmm.
Right, unless you just want to move him on to Richarlison, which I guess is kind of the temptation. Any final word on Mane? What do you think about Sadio Mane?
Yeah, he had a very bad Mane game today. Mm-hmm. I think he had one good shot on target, but I think the way I'm seeing it play out is I think that Salah is going to win in the head to head between him and Mane if it keeps going the way it is. So.
Salah's outscored Mane by 7 points on the season, which is not that much, especially when you say there's a 3 million point difference. Mane is so streaky, though. You know, unlike Salah, Mane has four double-digit attacking returns. He's got a 16, a 15, and two 10s. But then around that, he's blanked. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. He's blanked 8 times in 12 game weeks, which is quite a lot for a 10 million player.
Just the definition of explosive.
Double digits or bust is what you're getting with him.
Yeah. I don't view him as a problem, but I think he, if you currently have Mane, I don't view him as being a problem in your team, but I do view him as an avenue for you to get to those three other premium midfielders we're talking about, Hazard, Sterling, and Salah.
Yeah, I do think, you know, we kind of glossed over this a little bit when we were talking about Man City. I think one thing I may do as I try to weasel my way out of this Morata mess that I found myself in. I mean, I think I am going to keep Morata until game week 14, God help me. But I think that the money will ultimately be, I think I'm going to keep Brooks and I'm going to try to upgrade Kennedy. And I am going to try to find enough money to turn Kennedy into David Silva. And I think I've finally seen enough from Silva that even though we all know he's not going to start every single game week, he's starting enough of them that you can get away with it, right? He started 10 out of 12 so far this season, four goals, two assists, you know, picked up tons of bonus points along the way too, or, you know, seven, but yeah, you know, seven's very solid. It's five more than Mo Salah. So, I mean, what do you think about David Silva?
I love him. And I think he's banging form. So I think that's a great call. And, you apply the same logic to David Silva as you do to Sterling in terms of that risk of rotation. He's such a beating heart in that offense and that the esprit de corps at City. So I don't view him as a Mahrez level rotation risk. And given how consistent he's performing right now, then he's a great buy.
Yep. It's Bernardo Silva is interesting too. You know, just at like almost exactly, he's exactly 1 million cheaper. He's actually only 1 point behind David Silva on the season.
That's interesting.
And he started almost as often, right? I think he only has one fewer start.
Yeah.
He actually has one more start. He started 11 out of 12.
Yeah.
But I mean, a lot of managers out there are kind of gritting their teeth because they had him for these, you know, he's kind of like, a little bit like Sadio Mane, you know, that he's at some very big fixtures and some really mediocre ones.
David Silva just finds himself so much closer to the goal than Bernardo Silva does. Bernardo makes some great darting runs. He'll get in the back post from time to time, but David Silva is just always in the box.
Yeah.
He's always making
Bernardo was like a man on fire. I mean, he almost scored like 2 minutes into that match too. It's just like he had a great game today.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
All right, Chelsea.
Mm-hmm. All right. So Hazard, what's the last word on Hazard after game week 12? So I'm off Hazard. I dropped him ahead of game week 11 for Sterling. Worked out beautifully. Mwah, mwah, Italian chef kissing.
Sure.
What's your anxiety level right now with this man?
Well, I mean, he just was a little inaccurate today, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I thought he played okay. Had some opportunities. If Alonso was a little more accurate, then it would have been reflected in Hazard's scoreline too.
Yep.
I don't know. I mean,
if
you can't
one just look at, of Morata's 10 flops in the box were called as a penalty, then that's a goal for Hazard.
Yeah, exactly. It's, I think, well, there's that too. I mean, but I think he has to credit some chances for Morata too, if he hadn't been offside. So, I think it is one of the situations where you look at his FPL score and see 3 points and you think, this is not working out. But I think if you actually watch the match, you saw, a really dangerous player. I don't love that Spurs fixture in game week 13.
Yep.
I don't see a ton from him there. It's not like I like totally believe in Spurs, but, I just expect that to be a fairly tight match. And he's probably going to end up playing, twice over the international break too.
Yep.
Has he been called up? I'm actually not sure if he has been, but he probably has been. I'm going to hold him for game week 14. I mean, I know we've said this a couple times already, but I'm going to hold him for game week 14. And then the plan will probably be to move him on to Sterling. If I want to like move my money around, then maybe I move him on to David Silva and then spend that money elsewhere, maybe upgrade another midfielder or something.
Yeah. The way I'm heading right now, it looks like I'm just going to be, doing that, overwrought hide behind the couch, buy a larger couch meme for game week 14. It looks like I'm not gonna have Hazard there, and I'm terrified because I do agree on the whole. Hazard still looks like he's in form, looks great. It's just not really come together for him FPL wise over the recent weeks, so I wouldn't be panicking at all. I would be panicking if I were a Barkley owner, because obviously he didn't start against Everton, and his performance in the last 5-10 minutes of that game was laughable. He looked very bad.
It was like vintage bad Ross Barkley. It was so great. Of course he was going to do that, right? He was like not going to look for anybody else and just like rip it every time he had the ball. We have a question from Rick Cito. He says, as comes from the Always Cheating Slack, open to our Patreon supporters. This is Hazard and Barkley out for Felipe and Martial, or Barkley and Murray out for Felipe and Jimenez?
I'd say Barkley and Murray. Keep Hazard and drop Barkley for sure. Murray, it's a bit of a sideways move, moving Murray to Jimenez, but I think
you save a million.
Yeah, you save some money. And interesting stat on Jimenez that I saw today after he provided the assist for Wolves' goal against Arsenal is he's been involved in more than 67, be it he assisting or scoring the goal this season. He's been involved in their goal output in more than 67% of the time. Incredible involvement by Jimenez. And I think he's just sticking around. Everybody thought he'd be a little bit of a early season flash in the pan, but Wolves and Jimenez, I think, are sticking around.
Well, I dropped him, 3 weeks ago, with kind of that feeling that he was more of a little bit more of an assist player than than a goal scorer, which maybe is still the case. I was actually okay with that for a while, but then I don't know.
You love goals, as you say. No assists, goals.
I had him for the Watford match when he got subbed off in the 59th minute, and then the Brighton match where he didn't do anything, got subbed off in the 60th minute. And I was thinking, all right, well, this is like this is not working, you know, uh-huh. like it's not, he's just not going to, just contribute enough, you know? And so, but yeah, it's, I don't know. I feel like I kind of underrated him a little bit. Now Huddersfield and Cardiff back to back. I mean, those are in the Newcastle in game week 16, Bournemouth game week 17.
Yeah.
Great run coming up for him. I can understand the band. I say bandwagon. He's still only 9.1% owned. But I can understand the desire to have him in your team. I mean, he may end up in mine as well.
The other big Chelsea takeaway right now is it is a great time to be alive as a Marcus Alonso owner. The guy is, he didn't score or assist against Everton, but he looked fantastic. A couple of just amazing shots that went off the post or the crossbar. So I think he's just still such a stud in FPL. My attention is still,
he's the highest scoring player in FPL, Brandon, with 86 points.
Yeah, don't take it from me. Take it from the FPL stats page. I mean, can I interest you in doubling up here on Chelsea defense? So David Luiz is a BAPS magnet, and
I was so close to going Trent Alexander-Arnold to Luiz 2 weeks ago.
Yeah,
it looks like I actually. It worked out well in the end by 2 points. But, yeah, I can understand. Yeah, Luiz is probably pretty underrated as an FPL asset.
Yep.
You can't expect goals or assists from him. But if you're counting on, you know, if you think that Chelsea can keep up their defensive stability, which I actually think they can, mostly because their midfield is so solid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you've got, you know, Conte and Kovacic, although Kovacic didn't have a particularly good match. But, you know, that Conte-Jorginho midfield, it just – No one's going to boss that midfield around,
no.
You know, and so they might concede some goals, but so does every team in the league. You know, I think that at $5.5 million, I think he's probably pretty underrated.
Pretty fun asset to have, even if he doesn't have a great track record with goals and assists. He'll take the odd worldy attempt or free kick. It could make your game week a little more fun just to have this guy in your back.
That's true. And only 5.4% owned, too, so if you want to be a little different. But don't drop Alonso for him, obviously. That would be insanity.
So should we breeze through these other three, quote, big six teams, Spurs, Arsenal, sure. Manchester United? They're basically, for Spurs and Manchester United, there are only two players that we need to talk about, Kane for Spurs and Martial for Manchester United. I'll make this quick and painless on you, Josh. Martial, far out. Get him. I think he I think he is now officially the real deal for FPL.
Yeah, and we've been advocating for this for weeks. If they had been playing any team but Man City away, I would have brought him in this week. Yeah. You know, it's just kind of a bad luck on that part. So I might even burn four. I think it would be possibly worth burning four to bring Martial, and that's how much faith I have in him.
Yeah. All right. So the Kane train is starting to. There, people are just shoveling coal into the furnace here, getting ready for game week 15 when their amazing run begins. Home, Southampton, Leicester, Burnley, and into the festive period. Undroppable Harry Kane. Are you buying into this? The guy, Spurs generally, I said this to you when we were watching the Spurs Crystal Palace match. I said either Crystal Palace is going to win this match heroically or Spurs is going to win this match unheroically. And the latter happened with, of course, Foyth coming through with the goal.
It could only have been Foyth.
Yeah. Kane, we will credit him, justifiably so, with the assist. But this team does not look in scintillating form at all. I need to see much more from Spurs before I start buying into all this hype.
Definitely. Now, the question is Kane still classified as a forward next year? Or do you see him more as like an 8 million deep line playmaker?
Kind of like an Eric Dyer, like perhaps.
Exactly.
On the cusp between defense and midfield.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, even today, the goal he scored yesterday, or I mean, the assist he picked up was a center back's assist, right? Like a header.
Straight at the goalkeeper.
Straight at the goalkeeper. I mean, I love Kane. It's like Kane and it's sad this year what's happening.
Kane and Vardy. Yeah. The downfall of the great British English strikers.
Yeah, exactly. I know he won the Golden Boot this summer, although that was like mostly because of all his penalties. It's sad. And, you know, I mean, and I think a lot of it is because no one will rest him. You know, no one will let him take a match off. And I just think it's catching up with him. And I just can't, how can we see this and the Spurs management doesn't? Like, I know they want to, like, they want to push on and get the Champions League, and there's a million reasons. They don't have a great alternative to him. There are lots of reasons why it's hard not to play Kane all the time. Yeah. But, like, do you really, like, you could never, I mean, Crystal Palace, like, that
play
wasn't
Llorente, play Llorente. Yeah, I know I'm exactly. Like the only person in the world that rates this guy, but or even just play them together. I think they played together briefly during the Champions League midweek fixture, and Kane needs a buddy up there, a big buddy.
He got like 2 or 3 weeks off after the World Cup, and how many total minutes do you think that he's not been on the pitch since the start of the season? You just had to guess a number.
I think I know the answer. I think it's 5 because I was just looking at his stats page. Am I right?
It's 7. 7. So, he's missed 7 minutes out of the 12 game weeks after not having a summer off after the World Cup.
Yeah.
And he also plays in like every Champions League fixture as well.
Now, answer me this. It's insane. Let's rewind the pod a little bit to when we were talking about Mo Salah. Is he worth 13 million? He's produced 6 goals and 4 assists. Well, Harry Kane is on 6 goals and 2 assists. So, where's the beef? Well,
he doesn't get 5 points for a goal, and he doesn't get clean sheet bonuses. You know, I think that's definitely part of it. And just it's hard to watch him and think, yes, that is a player. When you watch Mo Salah, and you're like, yeah, that guy has the ball he has the ball in a position where he could score like every 2.5 minutes. Yep. You know, but with Kane, it's like, he's back there, you know, partnering up with Eric Dier, and you know they're working on kick arounds. And I don't know what's going on back there.
Slide tackle practice.
They're certainly not attacking. You know, I guess I'm being like a little snarky about this, and it's not because I love Kane, and I'm not like a Spurs fan, but I love Kane. Like, an in-form Harry Kane is awesome and super fun and great for FPL, and would present a real alternative to Aguero and Salah. I mean, you know, right now you can kind of alternate those two, but if you had Kane as well, then like you'd have game weeks where it was, you know, Kane, Aguero, Salah, Hazard, like all like really compelling captain options. Mm-hmm. And Kane just isn't one of those right now. And honestly, the one weekend when he was the home match to Cardiff, and he blanked and picked up a yellow card, you know? And so I think a lot of people feel burned right now. And I mean, his selected by percentage is 23.1%, but I have to imagine on active managers, like people who haven't just given up on the game, it's got to be closer to like -7% or something. Like, it seems like nobody has him right now. But I mean, they do have a good run. I don't know. I mean, like, this can all change, you know. Sure. I mean, we'll see. And you know, it is a great run coming up in game week 15. So Erickson. Maybe I go Hazard to Erickson in game week 15.
Yeah, none of the differentials that we discussed last week really lit up in that Palace game, be it Lamella had a couple of chances that he kind of blew.
Oh, yeah. Remember my Lamella moment in the game? Mm-hmm. Lamella's lying on the pitch, and I'm screaming. I think I just really wanted Sorloth to score, and so I was, like, screaming and complaining about how Lamella's, like, flopping on the ground, and then I was making fun of him for having – is it making fun? Maybe I'm just jealous, but he's, like, his weird face where he's got 0% body fat, right?
Or skeletal.
Yeah, and then they pan over and they show him, and his face is like he's drenched in blood, and I was like, it was
horrifying.
You see, like, yeah, I mean, you know, compare it, like, it was like someone actually got injured for once, you know. Yeah. And it's like the first half of the Chelsea Everton match, I felt like such an old man because I was like, get up, like you were not, like everyone was falling on the ground in that match. That was that was a painful match to watch. I know it was more painful for me because I was tripled up on that team, but even as a player with not a lot of investment in that game, but that was not a fun match to watch.
No, I totally agree. And Everton, I have to give props to Everton and to Marco Silva. The game plan came off. Sure. It worked. They were able to put up with these horrible, disgusting challenges that the likes of Jorginho were putting in. They didn't lose their nerve. They had opportunities to even win the game. So I was impressed with Everton, generally.
I was too. Much better than I was expecting, especially with with Yerry Mina. Maybe it was like a second time he'd played this season.
Yeah.
Played pretty well. I know he picked up a yellow card.
The most insane thing to happen in that match, though, is Marco Silva decides he's going to shore up the defense by bringing on who at the end of the game? Phil Jagielka. What a weird
That was a weird one.
Okay, well, one other team, Arsenal, in our Big Six compendium here. Is this still a thing? Are we still tracking Arsenal? Do I still have Lacazette? If so, why? Aubameyang going for the golden boot in the most sort of interesting manner.
Well, it is kind of interesting.
Sure.
I mean, if you score four goals out of substitute appearances, out of two, that is pretty interesting.
Yeah, that's right.
But,
if anything, it is interesting.
If anything, yeah. I don't know. I mean, I haven't had a single Arsenal player, I think, the entire season, possibly, which is wild. I mean, to get 12 weeks into the season and not have a single Arsenal player, but who would you have? I don't know. I mean, I guess Lacazette, but 9.7 million.
Get this. Ian Stimson wrote in on our Slack channel, should I end my Ozil experiment and move him on for David Silva? So, yeah, we, of course, were showering David Silva with praise earlier. And Ozil, yeah, he had that brief.
It's an easy move for Ian Stimson.
Definitely. Definitely. Go for it, Ian. Yeah, I would. I don't know. It feels like it might be time to sell on Arsenal. Just looking at these upcoming fixtures, Bournemouth away, not an easy fixture, particularly when they're going to look like that against a very kind of similar team in Wolves at home. And then it's the North London Derby and Manchester United. So I think I think you'd be okay to take a break from your Arsenal assets for the time.
Yeah, I think Arsenal had a long, relatively easy run of fixtures, and I think it worked out well for their forwards. You know, the midfield is kind of a mess. You know, it's not a mess exactly, but it's getting rotated a lot, and I think that they're still trying to figure out exactly what the right combination of players are. I know there was like a little bit of an Wobi bandwagon that was starting, but you know, and then he gets subbed at halftime, and
who could have seen that?
It's never quite happened. Exactly. He's a rotation player, so I think like you got what you expected from Arsenal, which is they had a really good run of fixtures, and they played pretty well. And now the fixtures are getting worse, and they're not fixture proof. So yeah, it's probably time to drop them.
Yeah, it's time for us to congratulate everyone who got Lacazette in for those goals and roll credits. It's over.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Brendan, let's take a quick break. We're going to get back with our lightning round.
Josh, let's take a quick minute for our good friends at Starting 11, the daily fantasy Premier League app for your iPhone or Android. We walked into the Black Horse, as we often do, and Josh, you were telling me about this vision that you had in which everyone who came into the Black Horse, they were washed clean and they could start fresh. They could create a new fantasy Premier League squad from scratch, and then we could all just go at each other for the next 4 to 6 hours as the games unfolded.
If you're tempted by Murata, you bring him into Starting 11 Daily Fantasy. You don't bring him into your actual fantasy team. It's just one example, Brandon. Drawn from I don't know why.
Starting 11 offers you that freedom because any day there are two or more Premier League matches, you can fire up a game on your iPhone or Android. There's no budget limitation to your team. You can adjust your lineups on the fly before the kickoff, even after those team sheets come out. And what's cool about Starting 11 is you get 3 live in-game substitutions. So when you see that Morata has been offside for the 20th time, you know what? Maybe it's time you ditch him from your Starting 11 squad and bring in somebody who might actually score.
Exactly.
So that's how you play Starting 11. If you want more information, just go to starting11.io. There's a great tutorial video there. But cash games are available in the US, in Canada, Germany, and the UK for your iOS. And cash games will be coming soon to Android, but you can play for free anywhere in the world on your Android phone. And mini leagues are about to launch on the iPhone app. So stay tuned for more information there.
Yeah. We can, when mini leagues are launched, Brandon, we will really make this vision a reality. We will be coming like a caravan, Brandon. We'll go town to town. Starting 11 startup contest.
Yep. And don't waste your money gambling on things you don't understand. It's the Premier League. Be smart. Participate in a game that you do.
All right, Brandon, it's the lightning round. I think it's going to be a slightly shorter podcast this week. We're not going to do a Game Week 13 preview because we will be back next week with a fresh podcast. But for now, Brandon, lightning round. Let's get some lightning-style answers to lightning-style questions. I don't even know what that means. Let's do some short answers or some short questions, all right?
Sounds good.
FPL Potter says, your thoughts on Rondon. People laughed at me last week when I brought him in. They laughed at me when I brought in Kennedy, too, Potter. And now who's laughing at my 6 points? Great fixtures until Boxing Day. A one-game wonder or the next potential bandwagon?
It's funny. After Rondon put in that second goal at the Black Horse, Leo turned to us and said, how many questions about Rondon do you think you're going to get on the podcast? I reflexively said none, but then I thought better of it. And I was like, of course, we're going to get at least one. It's just Rondon doing Rondon things. Well done to you, Potter, for getting him in and getting on that brace. But I sadly think that's probably all you're going to get.
He is cheaper than I realized. I did not know he was $5.7 million. That is very cheap. Like that puts him in that Ings, Jimenez bracket for sure.
Yeah, the Ings one is interesting because Ings also plays for a pretty dour non-attacking team. And I don't know what it is about Ings over Rondon that makes him slightly more appealing. Seeing Rondon play for West Brom for so long, he would occasionally put in performances like this, and then you wouldn't hear from him again for months. So that's the bias that's built in.
Ings represents untapped potential, right? We've never really seen a full season of Ings.
True.
Maybe I guess the first year that Burnley were up, maybe. Yeah. But, you know, injured for so long at Liverpool. So it's more fun to have him because you're like, well, I don't know. Maybe he's a 20-goal a season scorer, you know? But with Rondon, we know he's about a 7-goal season scorer.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, you know what? He's decreasing every year. He scored 9 three seasons ago, 8 last season. Or eight two seasons ago, 7 last season, and I mean he's got to be on for 6.
Okay,
now,
so,
right?
you've got at least 4 more goals left in the Rondon tank. So
maybe he'll score them in the next few game weeks, and you'll kind of. It is the craziest. The schedule for Newcastle is so nutty.
Yeah,
it's basically really good fixtures until game week 18, and then hit game week 19, and it is a brutal run of fixtures again, and then they end on kind of a high note too. It's like. They got the most screwed by the schedulers this year, right? I mean, that horrible run. But it's working out okay now. I mean, you'd have to assume they're going to stay up probably, right? I mean,
I think so.
Just getting those 6 points, I think, restored a little confidence. They're always pretty tough at home. And so you'd think that they'd pick up enough home victories, at least enough to put them above Huddersfield and Cardiff.
Yeah.
And then maybe there's one other team that that falls below them.
Cool. Maybe
probably Probably Fulham, sadly.
Oh, geez, yeah. It seems inevitable at this point. Yep, let's put a pin in Newcastle until the end of the season, and maybe they'll be an interesting double game week team.
All right, that's fair. Is Felipe Anderson the new bandwagon? That's from Mood Charlie.
Yeah, Felipe was the poster child of our special differential episode last week, so it was fun to actually see him come in with a goal. He's really finding form. So it's definitely a toss up right now. If you're like me, still looking at who you're going to take to
anybody. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just trying to figure out who to take to the mid-price midfielder dance I'm replacing Madison. Is it Martial, Richarlison, and Felipe Anderson? He's making the case that he's right up there with those three guys. And I think ultimately I'll pass on Felipe Anderson because to double up on West Ham when I do have the opportunity to get somebody like Richarlison or Martial, I'm not sure I can justify. But say you're not on Arnie at the moment, I think you're just seeing Arnie hobble around on his bad knee makes my eye go toward Felipe Anderson more and more.
Such a weird game, you know, like. It's just a funny one. Like very early on, Arnie had a great chance. I think Felipe Anderson had a great chance too. And then Huddersfield scored this kind of fluky goal where it's basically just Fabianski gets wrong footed.
Yeah.
And then it was like the air went out of the balloon for West Ham for like most of the game.
Yeah.
You know, and then kind of right at the end, they picked it up a little bit. It was just I don't know. Yeah. They're a funny team. They're kind of like Newcastle. I just don't know what. I don't know. It was just I felt like, I mean, Felipe Anderson got like a little lucky with the goal he scored too.
Yeah, the rebound came right to him. It finished well, but he had to be in the right place at the right time. FPL
has been a little poor before that, I thought.
Yeah. So FPL Nick is going to raise the stakes on Mood's question a little bit. He's just asking flat out Jimenez, Martial, or Felipe Anderson. So given what you just said, Felipe Anderson, doing cool FPL things maybe doesn't pass the eye test with flying colors at the moment. So if you have to choose between the two, or the two midfielders, Martial and Felipe Anderson, let's leave him and Nazarovic, who do you go for?
It's Martial easily, yeah. Especially because you really should have Arne in your team, I think. I think that's probably at 7 million, even with the knee, he's just very, you know, I don't know, very goal focused, really should have scored in this match. I think that he's right. I mean, I think he's just like an automatic pick for any team right now.
Yeah, I agree.
And so, but I don't know if I trust. So because of that, I don't feel like I trust West Ham enough to have two players from that team now, right?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I feel the same way.
Mike Mulcahy says, is Lucas Dean passing the eye test for the two of you? I am wanting to come off of Trippier and looking for a differential in defense. He seems attack-minded. I don't mind that. I think Perea on Leicester is also an interesting option.
Yeah,
right in that same price bracket.
Yeah, I agree. I do like the look of Dean. I am troubled defensively with Everton's upcoming fixtures. I mean, game week 13 is great, home Cardiff, but then in the next six, they're looking at Liverpool, City, and Spurs.
Liverpool and City away in both cases too, which is really tough.
Yeah. I might be tempted to look elsewhere, like Brighton or even West Ham. We were just talking about West Ham. I know they have City in game week 13, but then they just have an incredible run after that with Newcastle, Cardiff, Palace, Fulham, Watford, Southampton. I just see better options.
I'm surprised you're still, I agree. Although I don't know that I recommend the West Ham defense. It just seems like they've got
fair enough
too many mistakes in them, you know? I think I was actually kind of looking at an Everton defender too, partially because if Trent Alexander-Arnold didn't start this game week, it was going to be time for him to go for my squad. Now I think I probably end up holding him. Mm-hmm. So I was actually looking at Lucas Digne, because I agree. I mean, at 4.8 million, but again, it's just the fixtures aren't great. And is it really, do you really want to have him for, just like you can't play him for three of the next six fixtures, you know? Yeah. So is that really what you want?
Yeah. There were stats flying around a couple of weeks ago. When he was starting to emerge as he was putting in the most crosses of anyone on Everton. So there's the attacking impetus, but we haven't seen any production there yet. So
what about Lewis Dunk, this week's goal scorer, 4.4 million, 2.5% owned. Their next four fixtures are great. Leicester, Huddersfield, Palace, Burnley.
I'm into it. I think that's a good buy. I mean, I have Matt Ryan that I'm rotating with Patricio, and I'm content there. If I didn't have Matt Ryan, definitely looking at the I do wonder if I would have brought in Dunk or Duffy instead of Balbuena last week if I didn't have Matt Ryan, because I think Brighton is really coming into their own this season, and they just seem incredibly organized. They have a certain level of self-belief. I like that pick.
All right. Ian Waring says, this is supposed to be my last game week with Holobas, but who is there to move to in a similar bracket with the same potential for attacking returns? I guess the attacking return thing twists it just a little bit. Maybe makes Perea a little more of a contender there. But I think all the players we just talked about. I think Dunk in particular. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's kind of a short-term buy with those players, but the next four are great. And then it's a little bit of a mixed bag. But then you're talking about anyone who's got four solid fixtures in a row, that's like enough. I don't know how far ahead you need to think with some of these moves. I mean, so many things can happen, So you're like, their game week 18 isn't great, and like it sort of stops you from making a move that could really help you in the short term.
We have to assume, too, that Aaron already has Doherty on Wolves, because I think if you don't already have Doherty, that's a great move from Holobas.
Yeah, that's true. What about a Wolves double up? Or maybe even a triple up, a defensive triple up?
Yeah, I mean, Bennett was on for, he was neck and neck with Doherty for all three bonus before Arsenal ended up scoring. And so he's dirt cheap, offering great value, and seems really good on bonus. So I like him on a double up. I mean, or Johnny is basically Doherty on the other side of the pitch if you're looking to go full on attack.
Maybe Johnny, because there's a little more attacking potential there, mm-hmm. for, you know, it's not that much more money, right? Like 0.5 more. So, yeah, it's kind of crazy that Doherty's just skated along without really becoming the, like Wan-Bissaka, like, kind of took that spot for so many of us. But in the end, we all would have been better off with I don't know if we all would have been like, Wan-Bissaka's had a couple good game weeks, but in most cases, you'd be better off just having the two Wolves defenders.
Yeah. Wanby is such a fun story because, I mean, he took off like a comet at the start of the season in FPL, and he's drifted away, but he's only becoming a better and better player. Like, he's,
yeah,
he will be.
It's not really his fault that they're.
The yeah, team exactly. Is not. He will be in our next Big Six team conversation. I'm sure of it.
Yeah, yeah, but I think if I had Hulabasa, I'd be looking to get rid of him. Right? I mean, it's just
he
misses starts. He's old, right? Isn't he like 34 years old?
Yeah, but you have to understand the great diet that most Greek people have. I mean, old means something completely different in Greece.
That is true. That is true. I'm surprised he doesn't have silver hair. You know, it's, it's not, we're just going to all the Greek cliches. They're complimentary cliches, though. You know, Clooney has silver hair. It's beautiful. Fits in very well. All right. Mark Moore. My heart says Mo to Sterling. My heart says Mo to Silva. Who to listen to? This is a twist of what we talked about earlier. If you just, I don't know, if you just went to one, Brandon, who would you go to?
Sterling.
Yeah, I think Sterling too. I know you'd be saving 2.5, which you could spend elsewhere. But
well, I assume yeah, this, I just think, this move is just to your point. This move seems clearly laid out to make some money, to do a make weight for something else that's going on. So,
right.
I guess, Mark, if you're trying to turn Mo into bigger upside for your team, then maybe in your case, it's David Silva. To give even more money in the bank to, I don't know, whatever killer app you've also got going on.
It was honestly just bad luck that Sterling didn't get any attacking points today. He really should have had at least a goal. I mean, he was at that one moment where he was right there and kind of
he just didn't pull the trigger. The ball wouldn't sit for him.
Lawrence Boren says, really hoping you guys can help me with this one. Still have my wild card to burn. Is now a good time to play it before all the Christmas fixtures, or do I wait until another game week in December to play it?
this is an interesting one. I was thinking about this on Friday, I think. I was reflecting on my playing the wild card. I think it was in game week 4 or game week 5. The early wild card for me tends to, I mean, work. Whatever that means. I tend to generally always be happy and not regretting playing my first wild card on the early side. So my instinct here for Lawrence is to say, you know, if you've got some targets, just trigger the wild card now.
I tend to agree. You know, I was thinking about my transfers this week and how they didn't work out. And it ultimately hasn't really hurt me because I had such a good wild card a few weeks ago that it really did set me up for, it was like, I had the luxury of making some bad transfers because like I made the spine of my team very solid and I could like tinker at the edges a little bit, you know? So, I do think that it just depends on, I mean, we don't have like this team in front of us right now, but typically, you know, I don't know. Like if you know when it's time to wildcard.
Yeah.
Like if you're asking the question, you probably don't have to. Yeah.
We got a handful of questions too. Just looking ahead to the Christmas period, the festive period, including Will Thomas, who asked what should be the priority heading into the busy winter schedule: big point scorers or fully functioning bench. So this goes hand in hand with Lawrence's question of focusing on Christmas fixtures with his wildcard, and I'm wondering if. The festive period becomes the new over planning for the end of season double game weeks, where you just you think you're planning and you're doing a service to your team by getting everything in place weeks, months ahead of time, but you end up kind of screwing yourself in the short term. So I'm not a big fan of us already looking ahead to what's going to happen during the Christmas period. I think
we're still in early December, early November, yeah. You know, I agree with you. I think it's too early to start playing. I mean, the answer is you need both. You need big points and a fully functioning bench. And there's no way to split that, yeah. You know, you just need to have both. And yeah, I think that I'm not even sure you need to go three deep on your bench. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know that often in a win, even over like the craziest part of the holiday fixtures, do you really ever go three deep into your bench? Yep. You know, unless there's just a bunch of fluke injuries, but even rotation won't hit you that bad. So have at least two decent bench players. Yep. And it's so easy this year, right?
I agree.
You've got Wan-Bissaka, you've got, you know, all the Wolves defenders. So mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. Last question of the podcast comes from Death Star FPL. With Fraser returning yet again and stiff fixtures to come, is getting him in now chasing points or getting on a great priced asset in form who could score against anyone? All right, so let's solve this question from Death Star. Should he buy Fraser or should he just say I missed the boat?
I think it's a good idea to buy Fraser. It's definitely not too late, but the fixtures are not great in the next four game weeks, right? Yeah. I mean, outside of the Huddersfield in 15, they play Arsenal, City, and Liverpool in three of the next four. I don't think it's chasing points to bring him in, but those aren't great fixtures. Yeah. I mean, I don't expect him to like run riot in those fixtures. So I don't know.
Well, you must have thought about this a fair amount, bringing David Brooks in for game week 13. Maybe you didn't.
Yeah.
Maybe you didn't consider Fraser just because of the price discrepancy. But you considered the upcoming fixtures. You're just thinking.
Well, I did get that. I got that bonus Newcastle fixture, which I think helped. You know, I mean, if I had a 5 million midfielder, I feel like that's someone I can bench very easily.
Okay.
But I was like, well, Newcastle, and they have Huddersfield, Wolves, and Brighton. You know, in the next like six or seven fixtures, it felt like it was just enough, you know? And, I liked him for that fourth midfielder slot. And I knew I was going to, drop Kennedy at some point for a better midfielder. So, I don't know, but like, you know, my decisions were, in hindsight, I hate both the transfers I made. it is what it is.
Yeah.
You know,
I think though, to put Bournemouth in perspective, they're going to have some tough fixtures, but this is what we've seen of them as a great attacking side. There's no reason to believe that's not going to continue throughout the rest of the season. So just look at it as a long-term investment. Fraser's only going to go up in value, I would assume, unless he, God forbid, gets a terrible injury. So I think he's just an incredible value pick still at 6.2.
Yeah, I think so too. They're so attacking, and he's on set pieces and corners. And I mean, even today, like, he probably didn't have one of his best matches, but just because he's on corners, you know, he just had chances to pick up FPL points. So, all right, Brandon. Well, that's the podcast. We've got our game week 13 preview next week. I think I'm going to take a little FPL break, you know, take a couple days and like decompress a little bit.
Cool. So if you guys like weird Twitter, I will be running the always cheating Twitter account for making all sorts of nonsensical jokes. It'll be great.
I say this now. I'll be on there 10 minutes after this podcast.
Okay. So just a reminder, you can support the podcast by going to patreon.com/always cheating. Josh, if you support us at Patreon, you're not just sort of throwing us a few bucks. You're actually helping us to keep the podcast up on the airwaves. It's paying for our domain fees, our hosting fees through SoundCloud. And what we're trying to do over on Patreon is give that money back to our patrons. We just sent out a big T-shirt mailing to our producer
and sort buttons. We're looking at rolling out some new Patreon features too. We're actually working on recording some Patreon exclusive podcasts as well. Mm-hmm. We've got like three or four different ideas, all of which we hope to get done in the next, or at least a couple of them done in the next couple of weeks. So We'll keep you all updated on that. But yeah, thanks again to Bobby, Ali, and Andrew for becoming new Patreon supporters this week.
Yeah, and thanks to our producers especially, Mike DiPietro, Stephen Toomey, Sam Streak, Jacob Roberts, Nick Costello, Carl Rasmus, Leni Granley, Chris Howell, Rafi Khan, Martin Savage, Rick Brailsford, Jim Payne, Adam Benjamin, Max Chamberlain, Brian T., Trevor Ingerson, and Chris Carter. You guys are the best.
Thank you to all of you guys. Brandon, you can subscribe to the podcast. We are now on Spotify. We are finally on Spotify. Sorry, it took us an hour and 20 minutes before I mentioned that, in case you prefer to listen to podcasts on Spotify. But we're there now. So go find the podcast. I know that it's searchable because I did it on my own phone, and you can follow us there. You can find all the new episodes there. You can listen to every podcast we've done. I think this is actually our 151st podcast that we're recording right now, Brandon.
Yep. Just go into Spotify and make your own special Always Cheating playlist. Maybe you like episode 130 best. You can put that as track one. And then maybe episode 85 is your second favorite. Put that maybe in track four.
We all love episode 73, you know, the Game Week 14 preview from the 2016 season. Yeah. All right. So you can find us on Spotify, iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play, Acast, TuneIn, Pocket Cast, basically anywhere that you can listen to a podcast. You can listen to our podcast. You can give us a 5-star review on iTunes. We mentioned last week it's great for people to discover the podcast and listen to it for the first time. You can follow us on Twitter. We're at Hail Cheaters. That's H-A-I-L Cheaters. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/alwayscheating. You can email us, hailcheaters@gmail.com. And if you've zoned out in the last like 8 minutes of outro that we've just done.
What an outro it is. This is like a Terrence Malick outro.
You can go directly to alwayscheating.com. You can find the website. You can also see our Instagram photos on there. But we do hope that if you're on Instagram, you will follow Always Cheating Podcast there.
Excellent. All good stuff. All right. Everyone enjoy the break. We'll be back next week to talk more FPL. So we'll see you then.
We can't resist. See you soon.
Poku forever.
Hail international break.
Indeed.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.